Well, why don't you open up to Psalm 103. We're continuing in this series entitled Inherited Benefits. And I guess you could kind of subtitle it a study of Psalm 103, because we're not going to go through the entire Bible to study all the benefits. We'll just look at these in Psalm 103. And in the first verse, the second verse, it's talking about the importance of blessing the Lord and praising the Lord and making that decision that you'll do this no matter what. Bless the Lord, O my soul, in spite of my emotions, in spite of my feelings, in spite of everything that I feel like is a failure about my life. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In spite of all the times that I feel like I have failed God and let Him down. In spite of all the times that I think He doesn't love me anymore. In spite of the fact I don't think anybody loves me anymore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In spite of all the times where I know I've missed God, chosen sin, and knew I was choosing it the time I chose it, and could not escape from that, bless the Lord, O my soul. In spite of all the times that I get sick and tired of Pastor Martin preaching so long, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Now I get a response. Glory to God. And forget not all His benefits. That which He has given to you that you show enough don't deserve. That which He has given to you that He didn't have to. That which He has given to you because He loves you, not because you're lovable to anybody else. He loves you because in His eyes you're lovable. So nobody else loves me. Well, that's not true. But He says, you know what? In spite of you, I'm giving you all these benefits. I'll sit on my throne and watch. Now, it's up to you if you do anything with them. It's up to you. But as far as I'm concerned, they're yours. They have your name on them. Belongs to you. Forget not all His benefits. The first and most important beyond anything else, who forgiveth all your iniquities, everything, every sin, no matter what. You're forgiven, and He does not remember it. It's over. We talked about this. Won't reteach all of that again. But you are forgiven. And, you know, we did talk about the fact that this thing of self-condemnation in the body of Christ is so powerful, so prominent, that so many people don't think that God's really forgiven them. Well, it's one of two things. He's either a liar or He's forgiven you. It can't be both. Now, if God's a liar, we're all going to hell. You say, wait a minute. I ain't a liar. If He's a liar. That's right. If He's a liar, then this whole plan of salvation didn't work. I mean, what hope do you have? If He's a liar, what can you believe? Do you think God's a liar? No, Brother Martin. Then you're forgiven, right? But I don't feel forgiven. Doesn't matter what you feel. What matters is what He said. He says you're forgiven. Then, the next one. It says, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to dwell on this for a long time, but this 103rd Psalm is prophetic in nature. It's very prophetic about us in the body of Christ. Looking beyond the cross. Yes, it had applications for them back then, but it's looking beyond the cross. It says, He heals all your diseases. Now, let's walk through this phrase, healeth all thy diseases. This word healeth, it's the Hebrew word rapha. And it means, it has like two meanings. One is to mend, cure, heal, thoroughly make whole. So is there anything in your body that needs to be mended? Anything that needs to be thoroughly made whole? It falls into this category. See this? Probably most everybody in this room tonight is wearing some form of corrective lenses, either on their eye or in front of their eyes. Contacts or glasses, okay? Falls into this category. But this word rapha also means the work of a physician. The work of a physician is very important. God operates as your doctor. Now, I've heard some people refer, you know, in healing services, you know, Dr. Jesus. Well, that's true. I mean, rapha, you know, the work of a physician. And this word diseases, it comes from a Hebrew word that means a malady or a sickness, but it also means a grievous malady or sickness. So everything from a runny nose to the creeping crud. The simple and the extreme. He heals all your diseases, all of them. So what's going on in your body right now? I mean, don't tell us publicly. I don't think we want to know. This could get gross. Well, I got this ointment I've been using. Don't tell me. Don't. Whatever's going on in your body right now, it falls into this category. There's nothing left out. You know, the word all is all. Now, God's word is His testimony to us relative to this truth. Look in Psalm 107. And in verse 20, it says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, bless the Lord, O my soul, and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of what?
Thanksgiving.
And declare His works with what? Rejoicing. Okay? What work? Okay, well tonight we're talking about healeth all your diseases. Everything. All affliction, no matter what it is. Every malady. Everything. And it says here He sent His word, and that word healed in verse 20, it's the same word Rapha. Now there are different Hebrew words that have been translated into the same English word, you know, different circumstances and so forth. But in this case, it is the same word that's over there in Psalm 103. It's the word Rapha. He sent His word and He, now listen to this, mended, cured, healed, and thoroughly made whole and performed the work of a physician. He sent His word and did this. You see that? And delivered them from their destructions. So do you have anything at work on the inside of your body that's trying to destroy you? Cancer? I mean, anything. What is it? AIDS? Emphysema? Doesn't matter. It says here, He sent His word and Rapha'd them and doctored them, healing them, delivering them from destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful... Now let me paraphrase this for this teaching, okay? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful healing to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His healing with rejoicing. See that? Now, granted, when it says here works, that's a whole lot more encompassing than just healing. But healing would be included in this. So you can't leave it out. So it says here, you know, offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Well, when is giving thanks and rejoicing, I mean, when is that a sacrifice? When you don't feel like it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. When you don't feel like it. Now listen, I'll be the first to admit, there have been times where I have fought physical battles, been laid up in bed. And quite frankly, there are times, I mean, you know, you don't even want to open your mouth. Seriously. And there are times where you are so worn out. Just, I mean, your body is just, all you want to do is sleep, okay? You don't want to open your mouth and praise. In times like that, it's very critical that you do praise. Even if all you can do is get off one, Jesus, I praise You, before you fall asleep. See what I mean? It's very important that even if all you can do is whisper it, without even moving your lips, Jesus, I love You. I feel lousy, but I love You. Thank You for my healing. Thank You, Jesus. And that's all you can get out for the next hour. That's okay. It's all right. He says here, offer it up to Him. Do it. Because He sent His word. All right, now look, this is past tense. You see that? Now some people would say, well, yes, but Psalm 107, that's speaking a lot about the children of Israel. That's right, it is. But again, it's prophetic, a type and shadow of what He's done for us, the body of Christ. And it's past tense. He sent His word. He sent His word and healed them, Rapha'd them. He sent His word. Past tense. Meaning, it's already been sent. So if I ask Him, send Your healing word to me, O God, am I not asking Him to do what He's already done? If I look at Him and I say, Jesus, we need everything to be healed. He's going to say, well, okay, I've done it. If I say to Him, Lord, I need a word from You, God. I just need something to confirm what You've done for me. What's He going to say? I sent My word. If I say, Jesus, He's going to say, how many more questions do You have for me? The Father says, Son, I love You, but you're starting to get on my nerves. No, He won't say that. Although, you can get on God's nerves, so to speak. Moses did he not? But you see what I'm saying. How many questions are you going to ask before? And He's going to keep giving you the same answer. I sent My word and healed you. Now look at this. He says, I sent my word. He sent, past tense, sent his word and healed them. Look over in John chapter 1. So the key in this is understanding that his word has been sent. So in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He sent his word and healed us. Here it is. The word was made flesh. He sent his word and healed us and delivered us from all our destructions. Here it is. So now what do I do? He sent, and right here it is. It's telling me the word of God is the key to my healing. And then it tells me that the word was made flesh. Therefore, what does it tell me? It tells me that Jesus is the key to my healing. You see that? And Jesus is the key to my healing of everything. He sent, past tense, his word and healed, past tense, them. So God's up in heaven, and he looks to his right hand, and who does he see? Jesus. Now how did Jesus get there? He ascended back to the Father, right? So he was sent, he healed, now he's back up there with the Father. Now hear this, he's not coming back again to heal again. The next time he comes back, you know what it's going to do? It's going to glorify your body. See this? But between now and then, the healing is here. He left it behind, if you will. Look in Matthew chapter 8. So we see then that the key to this healing, God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. He healeth all my diseases, everything, all of them. This is a benefit. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So right here we see an example of the word doing what the word was sent to do. But now here's what's interesting. It says here that he did all this healing that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Well, I think it would be rather important for us to find out what Isaiah the prophet said. So look back over to Isaiah 53. And take a look here in verse 1. Who hath believed our report? When you start talking about divine healing, that's a fair question. Who hath believed our report? There's a lot of people out there that don't believe this, divine healing. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now you guys have heard this before, and you know that it's a prophecy about Jesus. In verse 4 it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But there it is. Now, I'm not going to go back in verses 4 and 5 and break down all of these words, give you the Hebrew word, and then give you the definition. But what I am going to do is read a paraphrase of verses 4 and 5 using the Hebrew definitions of words in these two verses. Now listen to this. Surely he hath taken away our maladies, anxieties, calamities, diseases, and sicknesses. Are you here? He hath taken away. Taken away. That, now listen to this. If he's taken them away, where are they? Are they with you or with him? So why is it, he's taken away our anxieties. Why is it that you have a lot of Christians living with anxiety from day to day? Now listen to this. I'm not trying to be cruel, but the only way that you can live as a Christian, the only way that you can live daily with anxiety is if you grab a hold of it and jerk it out of his hands and hold on to it. No, Jesus, this is mine now. I'm holding on to this. I'm going to worry, Jesus. You hear me? I'm going to be upset, Jesus. You hear me? I'm looking forward to these ulcers. Hallelujah. Surely he hath taken away our maladies, anxieties, calamities, diseases, and sicknesses. He hath used his own strength to perform the labor to bear our anguish, affliction, grief, pains, and sorrows. He was profaned, defiled, and done violence to for our sin, rebellion, apostasy, wickedness, premeditated breaking of God's law, and rejection of God's authority. He was cast down, oppressed, and afflicted to pay the penalty for our perversities, crimes, and depraved actions. The punishment, correction, and discipline for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes he became the physician who mended, cured, healed, and thoroughly made us whole. Praise God. How much more can he do? Nothing. There's nothing left for him to do. He has fulfilled this prophecy. God sent his word and fulfilled Isaiah 53. God has given to us the benefit of total and complete healing from anything that these bodies would encounter. Now let me just lay a disclaimer. You get healed from emphysema, and you keep smoking? Can you spell fool? Just go ahead and die. I'll preach your funeral. It's okay. You won't be here to hear what I say about you either.
He got healed and killed himself anyway.
Now that sounds kind of silly, but that's the way it is. You can't, listen, healing is not permission to abuse your body. Okay? Whether it's with tobacco or alcohol or drugs or food. I mean, Starbucks is okay. But
a little humor there. Hallelujah.
Anywho, this is the testimony. These things that we've just read here, Matthew 8, Jesus did this work. Isaiah 53. This is the testimony of God's word concerning the benefit of this healing that he has given to us. The source of sickness is irrelevant. Now, maybe you have abused your body in the past, okay? And there's a sickness. You know, a lot of people, because of their terrible eating habits, they develop diabetes. Well, you can be healed from that. Now, God does expect you to do something about your eating habits, okay? So even if you brought it on yourself, I mean, the source of the sickness is irrelevant. I want you to see this. First off, in Matthew chapter 4, read here beginning in verse 23. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy. And what did he do? Healed them." Man, I don't know about you, but use your imagination with this verse, this passage here, these two verses. Can you imagine how gross it was that day, those days? Now, I'm not going to elaborate, but you can just imagine the seeping wounds which had saturated the bandages, the infections, the odors. They didn't have medical stuff back then like we do today. And they brought people to, I mean, here you are, you're the 12. Or, I mean, you just hanging with Jesus, you know? And everything's cool. More teaching, Jesus, more teaching. And all of a sudden, man, here come all these people with all this stuff. This gross stuff. Some they have, you know, a cough. And some, man, just disgusting things. And, man, he just heals them all. Doesn't matter. Just heals them. Look over in Matthew chapter 15. And take a look in verse 29. "And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb," meaning they couldn't speak, "maimed, and many others." Many other what? Many other sicknesses. "And cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered." They were amazed. When they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. How'd you like to see that parade? He goes to a mountain, and he sits down on the side of the mountain. And he's relaxing. And here come, I mean, you know, you ever heard those ads for the car dealerships? Push, pull, or drag. Bring it in. That's what was going on here. Push, pull, or drag. Bring in the sick, the maimed, the halt, the lame. Jesus is healing today. Hallelujah. He's sitting there, man. They're bringing all these people to him. The blind people. Where are we going? To see Jesus. Right, to see Jesus. The maimed, meaning they have bodies that are deformed or body parts missing. They're maimed. I mean, you got people here that can't walk, so they're having to be carried. You got blind people, people can't talk. I mean, everything. You know, in that group we just talked about a few minutes ago, lunatics. You want them coming into your church? Yeah, some of you, I saw that reaction on your face. Nope. Brother Martin, go find you a mountain, sit down, get him healed, then bring him in here. And those that were possessed of devils? I mean, just, you name it. You name it. Identify your sickness, your disease. He healed them all. And it didn't matter the source of the sickness. Meaning, if it was a devil that was inflicting this sickness, remember the lady that was bowed over for like 18 years and it was a devil? Well, it didn't matter if it was a devil causing this sickness. I don't know exactly how devils do all that, but it didn't matter, man. I mean, if there's a devil causing the sickness, it did not matter. God sent His Word and healed them regardless of the source. Every single one of us, we stand in a position of healing. God sent His Word and healed. That means from His position, now what is God? A spirit, right? From His position, the healing has already been delivered. Already. What we're waiting for is the manifestation of the benefit. You see what I mean? Now, Jesus, He healed everybody. I mean, even body parts, the maimed, they were made whole. They were not whole when they showed up, and when they left, they were whole. People that were blind, couldn't see. What's the first thing they saw? Jesus. People that were deaf, what's the first thing they heard? Jesus. Everything, no matter what. And it's weird because in our minds, we put degrees of difficulty on sickness, do we not? And I've heard people say things, well, I know God can, but I don't know if He will. Well, then you just don't know your benefits, do you? Well, I know what it says. No, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. You've read the book, but you don't know what it says. All sickness and disease. There's no degree of hardness. Remember, I don't know how many of you ever... There was a song years ago, Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power. Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thine outstretched arms. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Okay, we sing that, but that includes sickness and disease. Yeah, but you don't understand. The doctor said it's AIDS. You can't cure AIDS. Well, back in Jesus' day, you couldn't cure leprosy. Leprosy was the 10 BC or the 10 AD version of AIDS. Or whatever year it was back then. There was no cure for leprosy. You got leprosy, man, you died. Unless there was a miracle. Where do miracles come from? Every good and perfect gift. Jesus healed people. There were a couple of times where He healed somebody of leprosy. And He said, keep this quiet. You ever wonder why He did that? I mean, why not tell everybody? Because Jesus was living under the law while He was fulfilling it. And according to the law, if you come in contact with somebody with leprosy, you can't go into the city. You have to go through a time of cleansing. He didn't want this to interfere with what God had sent Him to do. So He says, okay, look, man, you know, I know you're happy about this, but keep it quiet, all right? You know, just don't say anything. And what they do? They all go running out, Jesus healed me, praise God. And then in one place it says He withdrew to a solitary place. Now, why do you think He did that? Because He knew He couldn't go into the city now. The priest would be looking for Him. You're breaking the law, aren't you, Jesus? Every sickness, every disease, no matter what the cause, all of them, the source is irrelevant. Not only that, don't forget Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Man was created in God's image. God is not susceptible to sickness. You're not going to see God going to get his cortisone injections for arthritis. Also, God declared everything he created as meeting his standards of perfection. Genesis 1:31. He looked at everything he made and said, it's good. Sickness isn't good. God created man in his image. Man was not created to be sick. Man wasn't created to hurt. Man wasn't created to wake up in the morning and be so stiff he couldn't get out of bed. Man wasn't created to have all these problems. Man wasn't, listen, do you realize that in God's original plan, he did not include the ministry of the pharmacist? Think about it. If nobody's sick, you don't need any drugs. A lot of people out of work, hallelujah. His original plan never included hospitals, never included doctors, never included Ben Gay. None of this stuff. And yet in his foresight, when he created the plants, he included in some of these plants properties that would heal the body because he knew what was coming in Genesis chapter 3. Isn't that amazing? Now, Jesus came to restore man back to the Genesis 1 conditions. The problem is our body hasn't yet been glorified. So in between now, being born again, and the glorification of our body, what benefit do we have? Healing. However, divine healing does not translate into immortality. Meaning, you're not going to get your body so healed it doesn't need to be glorified. Uh-uh. That isn't going to happen. Eventually, this body, because of Genesis chapter 3, is going to wear down. It's going to say, I can't take any more of this. I'm sorry. You're just going to have to go on to heaven. Come back and get me later. At the last trump. But for now, stick me in the ground. Embalm me first so I don't stink. But I'm sorry. It's over. So, you know, 120 years old, just, you know, that's it. Body's just not going to go any further. Now, I know this sounds rather simplistic, but from God's perspective, this is the way it's supposed to be. Look, guys, think. Jesus didn't come down and go through everything he went through just so we could be like the world. We are supposed to be an example to the world of what Christ has done for us. God sent his word and healed us. Jesus became the physician that thoroughly made us whole. That healing is available to us. And I'm just as guilty as everybody else of fighting too many physical battles. Way too many. And sure, every now and then, you know, we bump into things. I mean, stuff happens. But we shouldn't take weeks and weeks to recover from things. We really shouldn't. This is going to sound extreme. First off, let me lay this disclaimer. I am in no way saying that you do not go to a doctor. All right? And I am in no way saying that you don't take care of your body. And I am in no way saying that if things start happening to your body in the sickness or whatever that you say, well, no, I'm not going to a doctor. No, I'm not teaching that. Okay? However, think about all these people that went to Jesus. They could have refused, couldn't they? And said, a guy from where? Where'd you say he's from? A Jew, huh? What, you think only Jews ever went to Jesus to get healed? Nah, I think I'd rather go to the doctor. And they could have. The lady with the issue of blood spent everything she had and still didn't get better. How many people do we know like this? Thousands of dollars in doctor bills and nothing changes. You just get worse. What's the difference between then and now? None. Who made the difference for her back then? That was Jesus. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Sure enough was. It should be to the point now. We should get to the point to where going to the doctor is an almost non-event in our lives. And really, to the point to where it's a non-event. Now, I'm not saying you don't go for, you know, like your regular checkups and things like that. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying, look, listen, the pattern we see is right here in Scripture. We should grow. See, but when you start saying things like that, people start saying, well, you're a nutcase, Brother Martin. I mean, you're out there in La La Land saying things like this. But now, wait a minute. God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Who healeth all thy diseases? If that healing's manifesting in my body, why do I need to go to the doctor to get drugs? You see what I mean? Okay, now, that brings up the question. Big question. Where is my healing? Fair enough. Well, look at Matthew chapter 17. In verse 14, it says, when they were come to the multitude, Jesus, Peter, James, and John, after the Mount of Transfiguration, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a what? Remember how Jesus healed the lunatics? And sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And it brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. I mean, that is so simple, is it not? Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, alone, privately, where nobody could hear. You want to know why they did that? Because they knew they were going to hear something they weren't going to like. Otherwise, if they were all that confident in themselves, they'd ask in front of everybody. But they knew Jesus was going to tell them why they'd failed. They ask, why could not we cast him out? Jesus looks them in the eye and saith unto them, because of your unbelief. Now stop right there. Why could we not cast him? Why couldn't we get this kid healed? What's the reason? Because of your unbelief. Now he could have stopped right there. Period. End of verse. Move on to the next chapter. But he didn't. What he did was not only give them the reason they couldn't, but he explained what to do about the reason. He answered the next question. Jesus, why could we not cast him out? You get this boy healed. Because of your unbelief. Well, Jesus, what do we do about unbelief? See that? That's the next question. I mean, if that's the reason I can't do this, if that's what's hindering a manifestation of healing, then I need to know what to do about this situation. You say it's because of my unbelief. Okay, now Jesus, what do I do about my unbelief? He didn't give them a chance to ask that question. He went right into the answer. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Aha! Prayer and fasting will cause you to cast out devils. No, removing unbelief will cause you to cast out devils and get people healed. The prayer and fasting deals with the unbelief. And so what happens is a lot of people teach this, the prayer and fasting is the reason that they couldn't get this kid healed because they hadn't been praying and they hadn't been fasting. And Jesus told them, he said, no, the reason you couldn't do it is because of your unbelief. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, he had just earlier, prior to this, given them a teaching about mustard seed. How that the mustard seed, when it's planted, you know, it's the smallest seed, but when it's planted, it begins to grow and becomes bigger than everything else in the garden. And so what he is saying is your faith, it starts out small, but it's supposed to grow to the point that it becomes bigger and overshadows everything else in the garden of your life. And he says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, it will be sown deeply into your heart. It will grow and keep growing and keep growing to the point to where you'll be able to say to any mountain of your in your life, remove and get out of here, and it will be gone, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Including getting kids like this healed. Including any sickness that you encounter. Doesn't matter what it is. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. Now let me show you a version of this over in Mark chapter 9. I mean, this is the same story. It just is presented a little bit differently in Mark chapter 9. And we won't read all of this, but this man has come to Jesus and, you know, can you help? And while he's talking to Jesus, the spirit tore this kid and he fell on the ground wallowing and foaming. And Jesus asked in verse 21, how long has this been going on? And the father says, since a child. And he says in verse 22, it's cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Now look here. But if look what this man says. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now look what Jesus says to this man. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now look at this. Jesus, the man looks at Jesus and says, if you can do anything. And Jesus looks at him and he says, sir, it's not a matter of what I can or cannot do. It's a matter of what you believe. In other words, hey, I can do anything. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to heal and cast out devils and do the work of the Father. It's not a question of what I can or cannot do. Sir, I can do anything. Whatever the Father sent me to do, I can do it. I can accomplish his work. The key factor in this is what you believe, because if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Okay, now let's just get a quick example of all things, okay? Look in Mark chapter 16. And look in verse 17. Remember, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. Nothing's left out. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick will get sicker. It says they'll lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And Jesus says these signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. From God's perspective, this is a very simple formula. We're the ones that complicate this. And listen, not only do we complicate it, but we come up with all kinds of excuses why it really doesn't apply. And what we really are doing is defending our unbelief. In other words, I don't have any unbelief. Me and God, man, we're buddies. I'm right where I ought to be. I mean, there's a bigger problem here. It's got to be your unbelief. I mean, me. I'd walk on water if I felt like it. Just don't feel like it right now. Don't push me. So it ain't my unbelief, it's yours. And we've heard that before, haven't we? Now, I do understand that the other person's belief, there is a factor involved in this. But the thing is, if you go through and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every single person who went to Jesus received their healing. Whatever it was. Didn't matter what it was. Every one of them that went to Jesus received a manifestation of their healing. And it didn't matter what the cause of the sickness was. All of them. So Jesus is saying, look, it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, I can do anything. But you know, what do you believe in this? And all things are possible to him that believes. So, you know, I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Look in John chapter 14. And look here in verse 12. Verily, verily, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that what? There's that word again. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And what you have is, people focus on the second half of this verse. Greater works! Glory to God! We can do greater works than Jesus! Hallelujah! Greater works! And you know, people chicken walk all over the front. They'll run up and down the pews. They'll flop on the floor. Greater works! Woo-hoo-hoo! Greater works! And we can't even get the first half straight. What? And most people misinterpret the second half. They don't even know what the second half of the verse. What? Listen, let me ask you, I'm not going to teach on it tonight, but what is greater than raising somebody from the dead? What is a greater work than getting, you know, come out of that casket in Jesus' name and boom, they come out. What's greater than that? See what I mean? People don't even understand what the greater works are. And I've heard, what are the greater works? Well, are you doing the works?
If the Lord wills.
How about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Sounds to me like he wills. These signs will follow them that believe. You'll do the works that I did. Well, okay. What are your works, Jesus? Well, let's just talk about this one right here. I sat down on the mountain. They brought everybody to me in every imaginable condition, and I healed them all. So you take it from there. Go find you a hospital. Sit down in the lobby and let them wheel the people to you. Intensive care or anywhere. Get them healed.
Well, now, Jesus, you know, Bible says if a man don't work, he don't eat. I got a job, Jesus. You know, I mean, I'd go help them people if I could.
Are you seeing this? So what do? We make up all kinds of excuses.
Well, I'm not called to be a pastor.
He didn't say the pastors. He said them that believe. The works I do, you do also. Listen, this is a right between the eyes kind of a thing, man. I mean, I'm indicted by this, and you are too. I mean, bam, right there. You can't get away from this verse. All things are possible to him that believes, and to him that believes, the works I do, you shall do also. You get him healed. Get her done. You'll get... So then we ask the question. listen, we don't want to admit that we're the ones with the problem. We don't. That's why those guys got alone with Jesus. Why couldn't we do it? Because of your unbelief. Whoa, hold on, Jesus. Can't be mine. It's got to be, Matthew's here. I know for sure it's Thomas' unbelief. Man, he messed up this whole thing. He said, because of your unbelief. A whole bunch of you. I can just see him now, kicking a few rocks, on, wondering what's coming up next. I thought I had belief. Jesus. If they didn't think they had belief, they wouldn't have tried to get that kid healed in the first place. They thought they had belief. Turns out they didn't. Surprise. And he says, fellas, listen, you're going to have to deal with this on a deeper level. And you'll be able to, especially once I'm gone. And you've got my life in you, access to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the whole nine yards. And you'll be able to do these things. Well, we see examples of that in the book of Acts, how things changed. The one thing that never heals, though, never, ever, 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 is religion and memorized scripture. Religion will never get you healed. Listen, there are a lot of people that believe in healing because it is the religion of their church. Okay? But religion doesn't get anybody healed.
You believe in healing? Yes, amen. Got anybody healed lately? No, amen. But you believe in it? Yes, amen.
Religion will never get you healed, and neither will memorize scripture.
By his stripes we were healed. Hallelujah.
Well, praise God, but I didn't get anybody healed. Just because you know that verse. Anybody can memorize these verses. But memorized verses don't get people healed. And this is where we mess up. We think if we memorize the verse, we get people healed. No. Memorized verses in religion will never get you healed. Your heart is in conflict with your mind. One way to put it. Because, in our minds, we don't understand the unbelief. But if we're not getting the Jesus results, I'll just make it personal. If you want to agree with me for yourself, you can. If I, Jim Martin, am not getting the Jesus results, there's still unbelief operating on the inside of me. It's got to be dealt with. I can't blame you, and I can't blame God. You've got to tread lightly on this, because some people, man, they hear a message like this, and they'll start carrying a burden God never intended for them to bear. But I will tell you this, like with my dad's healing, my dad was in a nursing home for about 3-4 years. Alzheimer's-like symptoms. He was in no condition to believe for anything. It's partly my fault he was like that. Because I know this, if I were walking John 14:12, I'd have walked into that room and I'd have said, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. And that affliction, whatever it was, would have left. So I bear part of that responsibility. Now here's the thing. God knows where we are in our walk with Him. And He is not going to hold us. Boy. We don't have to carry the burden of another person's death. Now, what I mean is this. We have a responsibility in the eyes of God. His expectation is that we're going to get to that John 14:12 place, doing the works of Jesus. He that believes the works that I do, you do also. But there's a growing time, okay? You don't go from born again today to, this morning I'm born again, and tonight I'm walking in an apostolic anointing, okay? It doesn't happen like that. There is a period of growth. The accountability comes in when we don't do anything to grow. Now, if we have been in a religious system, a denomination, that is not teaching us how to grow, we are not 100% responsible for this, because it's like Jesus talked about the blind leading the blind. They both fall into a ditch. The ones who taught us against growing spiritually into John 14, 12, they are going to be held at a higher level of accountability, and James talks about this. So now, let's talk about what can we do here. I mean, listen, God's healed all my sicknesses and my diseases, okay? That's my benefit. So what do I need to do to experience the fullness of healing in my body? Well, a lot of it has to do with the belief. Nothing's impossible to him that believes. What that means is, if I believe enough, that I can receive the manifestation of healing in my body, whatever it is. And I'll tell you this, I have received a lot of incredible healings in my body. I mean, something hit me that normally should take a while to you know, be gone, and it's gone just like this. And I praise God for that. But I'm still fighting this eyeglass thing. Yet, according to my benefits, I've been healed. According to what God has said, God sent His Word, I've been healed. But we are so quick to accept some things as, well, just the way it is in life. But that's not true. And that's why, remember, in here we talk about, if you're believing God for a manifestation of healing, for anything in your body, you know, lift your hand or come up here, and I look out and there are people with glasses on their face still in the pews. So you must be happy with this. You must like spending the money for these contacts and these glasses. No, I don't. Well, then get up here. We'll pray for you. Well, what if it doesn't happen? Man, give me at least try, okay? But let's look at this thing of the unbelief. The heart has to be filled and rise above the mind. That's just it. So you can have the verses memorized, but having the verses memorized doesn't mean that you're operating out of the realm of the Spirit. And this is one of the things that the Lord showed me, how that everything that we do to grow and mature spiritually is to get us to the place of operating out of our spirit as opposed to operating out of our mind and what we understand with our mind. It's operating out of the realm of the spirit. We are a spirit, an eternal spirit housed in a body. All right? Now, all too often what we do is try to operate out of the function of this body to get people healed. Yet the heart or our spirit has to rise above that understanding, has to rise above everything about the mind and the soul and the mental comprehension, and we have to operate out of the realm where God exists. See? We have to get to the place of operating as a spirit moving through this flesh. That's what Jesus did. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, but the Word, now I'm going to add to the Bible, you know, respectfully, and the flesh did not hinder the Word from fulfilling its assignment. See that? Same thing's supposed to be true for us. The flesh is not supposed to hinder His Word, His life in us, from accomplishing, living a John chapter 14, verse 12 life. Look in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, right here in verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus, why couldn't we get these people healed? Because of your unbelief. Okay, so what do I do? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Okay, I've got that verse memorized. Okay. Faith is not a mind thing. Faith is a spirit thing. Faith, let me say it this way, just for teaching purposes. Spiritual increase comes by the word, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? Now, look over in Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, look here, just one verse, verse 14. Jesus says, the sower soweth the word. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Then Jesus says, the sower sows the word. So if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and I'm a sower, then I've got to sow the word of God. Listen. You can't sow my words. Now, I appreciate you listening to the sermons. I appreciate every now and then somebody says, well, I enjoyed that message. That was, you know, praise God for that, okay? Faith doesn't come from my words. Faith doesn't come from hearing and hearing by the word of Pastor Jim. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Okay? There is a huge difference. Because a lot of people think because they listen to every sermon that's ever preached by their pastor, faith is coming. Only if the word is in that sermon. See this? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look over in Galatians chapter 6. And the sower sows the word. And in Galatians chapter 6, look over here, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And people jump on the money bandwagon on this thing. But now look at this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The sower sows the word, and be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So now listen, if I'm sowing the word, what should I expect to reap? What the word? Okay, God sent his word and healed them, right? Sower sows the word. If I sow the word and the word was sent to heal, what should I expect to reap? Healing. You see this? Healing. Now, if I want to focus on healing specifically, I need to get a hold of as much healing scripture as possible. You know, read those passages where, you know, he sits on the hillside and they bring everybody and he heals them. I mean, you just keep meditating on those passages which give a revelation of the healing. The promises of the healing. I mean, all of this is in scripture. You meditate on this and you're sowing that word and it says, don't be not deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, if you don't sow the word, you don't get word results. And to think otherwise is mocking God. Well, God, yeah, you know, if he wills. Oh, Father, heal Deacon Bob, if it be thy will. Man, that's like mocking God. Because that means you don't know what God's will is. What is God's will? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them. What is the benefit? He healeth all thy diseases. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit. Why? Okay, what Spirit? The Holy Ghost? How can I sow to the Holy Ghost? How can I sow to the third person of the Godhead? What is he lacking? What does he need me to sow into him? Nothing. He's the one that gave this word in the first place. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means divinely breathed forth by the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that breathed this thing. He was the one that gave the revelation of the word so it could be documented. And now it says right here, I'm supposed to, listen, when he gave the word, he didn't forget what he gave. It's still there in him. So it's not him, the Holy Spirit, I'm sowing to. It's my spirit that I'm sowing into. When I'm born again as a child, as a babe in Christ, how much word do I have in me? If I've sat in church my whole life, I got a whole bunch of word that's up in my head. But I haven't had a born again spirit to sow into. Do you see what I'm saying? And he says, listen, if you sow to the flesh, you're just going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Meaning, out of my spirit, the sower sows the word. I'm sowing the word into my spirit. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So my spirit then becomes saturated with the word of God to the point where my spirit rises above my mental understanding and I begin to operate out of the spirit so that I am reaping life everlasting, which includes what? Healing. And he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Well, Brother Martin, what's due season?
When that mustard seed that you've been sowing and watering has grown to the point to where it's bearing the fruit of healing. And you're going to reap and faint not. It won't fail. It's right there. And these things are so hard for some people to face up to. Because this kind of teaching, this kind of revelation from God's Word, I mean, man, it's like you are looking right in the mirror of your shortcomings. And you cannot get away from what this is saying. Why don't people get healed when I lay hands on them? It's not because it's not God's will for them to be healed. If that healing doesn't, listen, the pattern is Jesus. If we conform to the image of Christ, the pattern is there. And if I lay hands on those people, listen, anybody that comes in this place in a wheelchair, every one of us should be walking John 14:12. Grow spiritually, sow to the Spirit, grow spiritually into the manifestation of John 14:12. Can I say something? I don't mean to be rude here or hurt anybody's feelings, but sometimes you guys depend on me too much.
Man, let the pastor pray for him.
No, wait a minute. Let me say that respectfully. Well, let Pastor Jim pray for him. I will pray. It's okay. Really, it's okay. But as long as you see me as being better than you, you are never going to rise above wherever you are right now, because your faith is placed in me and what you think I can do. These signs shall follow them that believe. See, you're them. Say this. Say, I am a them. You're them. And I was like this. I mean, boy, you got to understand something. It was hard for me to come to the place of finally having to admit, yes, God, I'm not where I should be. I cannot say that these passages don't include me. I can't say, I can't lay this blame on anybody else. This is me, okay? And if I pray for them and they don't, and the healing does not manifest, it's because I am not yet where I need to be. Now, this is a tough thing to admit. But reconciling this with yourself is one of the first steps to getting past it. Don't let pride keep you back.
Well, who are you to say that it's my fault? God can do anything.
And He works through us. Look in Jude chapter 1, only one chapter. Right here in verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your what? Your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. I build myself up on my most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. I pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit is working with me in the area of my spirit, not my flesh, not my mind, my spirit, to help me get to the place of John 14:12, of living John 14:12. Let me ask you a question. Here's Jesus. How many of you know Jesus slept from time to time? Okay. Some people have weird ideas about Jesus. Here's Jesus. He's asleep. And, you know, here's a knock on the door. 3 o'clock in the morning. Jesus. What? My wife tripped and fell. And we think her ankle might be broken. Jesus, she's in tremendous pain. Can you help? Now, what do you think he would do? Well, don't you have a pastor? What he's going to do? Say, yes, your faith has made you whole. What faith? The faith to know you could come to me, be healed. Boom, ankle healed. Praise God, she can go back out in the fields tomorrow and work. Hallelujah. Come on, woman, we're going home. Now listen. And what else did Jesus say? Prayer and fasting, okay? Prayer and fasting. Now, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If I pray with the understanding, my praying is going to be limited because I'm praying with the understanding. That means I'm praying out of what I understand. And if healing's not manifesting, do I understand it? Well, no. So I've got to include praying in the Spirit to help me get past my understanding, to start walking in an understanding. In other words, to start walking in John 14:12. See, do you ever, when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, do you see any kind of hesitancy in Jesus to minister to people? No. I mean, remember the story of the blind guy? Well, the one blind fellow. They bring him to Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, "What do you want?" "Well, duh, Jesus, I'm blind, all right? I want my sight." He says, "All right, have your sight." That's confidence, man. "The works that I do, you shall do also." It's not just a matter of ministering healing to people and receiving the manifestation of healing in our own bodies, but it's also walking in that confidence. Remember, Jesus made the statement, "It's the Father in me that does the works." Okay? It's Christ in me that does the works. So I'm just a conduit of His glory. But my spirit has to rise above my flesh so that the flesh doesn't hinder the benefits that God has given to me in His Word, which includes my healing as well as the healing of other people. If I allowed all the times that I prayed for people and healing didn't manifest to get to me, I'd have quit healing, praying for people a long time ago. Man, why I pray ain't going to work. I prayed for some people, bona fide miracles have taken place. Cancers have disappeared out of people's bodies. In fact, collectively, you know, we prayed for Judy. And the doctor said that she had all these kidney stones that were blocking everything inside. And that was on, I don't know, Wednesday night. They said, well, you know, kidney stones blocking everything. Well, Thursday morning, they say, we can't find any kidney stones. Now, listen, I'm not a doctor, medical doctor, all right? I'm not an ex, but I'm telling you right now, kidney stones don't just disappear overnight. they don't evaporate, okay? There has to be something divine going on here. And the doctor says, well, you must have passed them. And I mean, I was standing there when the doctor came in and said this. I was in the room when the doctor came in. Well, we looked at your ultrasound and we can't find any. You must have passed them. And I'm thinking, what with? She hasn't been drinking anything, pal. I didn't say that, but that's in my mind. I'm thinking, how could she have passed them? She hasn't been, you know, going potty. I mean, you see what I'm saying? When you listen, if you've ever had kidney stones, I haven't, praise God. But when you pass them, you know, usually people know it. Especially if you pass one that's big enough to block all the fluid from coming out. And they say, well, we can't. No, he didn't say it like that. He said, well, you know, you must have passed them. It's like, okay, last night, stones, plural, and blockage. And this morning, nothing. Yeah, you're right, Doc. She passed them. Uh-huh. Now, thank God for the doctor. He was a nice guy. He really was. And I appreciate everything they did. But that was not a work of medical science. That was a work of God in her body. We all prayed for her. And for some folks heard about the fact that there were stones. I mean, we prayed against these stones. God, you know, make them go away, whatever. And, you know, I forget exactly how I prayed. But what I'm saying is this. I'm not taking the full credit for the healing manifesting in her body because there's a bunch of you were praying with me. Okay? So we all had a hand in this. Now, what has happened was a manifestation of a benefit. Now, Judy in her condition was struggling physically to maintain even clear thinking. I mean, she was feeling lousy. But bless God, we stepped in the gap. We stepped in the gap and we helped administrate that benefit to her body. And now they're just doing some finishing touches there in the hospital. Blood pressure's fine. They just want to do some more tests, make sure there's no more infection, so on and so forth. They're going to send her home. They're tired of her. I'm saying that just to be funny. But you see what I'm getting at? That's John 14:12 in manifestation, guys. In manifestation. Now, this is where we're supposed to be walking. This is a benefit. It's not just our physical healing, personally, individually, but it's also the ability to minister this healing. That is a benefit, doing those works. Now, when it comes to us and the fact that, you know, we're just not yet at John 14:12, we're not yet at John or Mark chapter 16, laying hands, we don't see them all recover, we know what to do. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Sower sows the word. Build ourselves up on our most holy faith. The fasting, not going to teach much on that. Got a tremendous series on fasting and why that works back there in the back. This works, okay? Now, I'm going to publicly admit that I have struggled in the area of fasting relative to blood sugar. And I will publicly admit that I have not been sowing the word enough. I've not been praying enough. Because I'm not at John 14:12, okay? The evidence is there. But I am doing things, you see, to grow spiritually. And I'm going to keep praying for people. I'm not going to wait until I'm at John 14. How will I know I'm at John 14:12 until it starts manifest? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep praying for people. I'm going to keep laying hands on this. I'm going to keep doing these things. I'm going to keep doing this because I know God's word is true and I know this is a benefit and I know that I've inherited this and I have to grow spiritually into the full manifestation of this promise of healing, not just for me, but for every one of you as well. Oh, and by the way, since I am the pastor, I do have a responsibility to be able to minister healing to every person in this congregation. As the shepherd tending the flock, that's part of my responsibility. And I've not been fulfilling it as well as I could. I'm not proud of it, but you know, you might as well fess up. But I'm getting closer and closer. I really am. We have inherited the benefit of healing. We can see it manifest in our lives. All things are possible to him that believes. Let's become believers. Let's do what we need to do so that our believing spirit rises above our mind and the flesh, and these benefits become a living reality in our lives. Amen.